Greetings and welcome to the Spread and Essence Football Picks podcast. I'm Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, welcome to week 13.
It is week 13, isn't it?
Just had to double check that.
Yeah. No, I've been doing the same thing, though, the past few days. Like, anytime I write it down or something.
It went from week 11 to 13 in a heartbeat.
It did, yeah. And once you get into, like, the early double digits, you're factoring in holidays and whatnot.
Well, that's the other thing,
too. It gets ugly.
Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
Good.
How about you?
It was fine. The highlight of my Thanksgiving, though, might have been going 10-4 against the spread last week with my picks.
Did you? I actually didn't even look up the record.
I didn't want to get to it too early, but I kind of did. So.
You might as well with a record like that.
One might consider me an expert at this point.
You've graduated from analyst to expert.
Well, that is, yes, exactly. That's my segue into the start of our podcast. Well, actually, as always, we'll get to the three best games of the week. I'll give our against spread picks, do locks and upsets, and then we'll get out. But before we do that, we are joined by Nesson betting analyst Sam Panionovic. Sam, did you go 10-4 this week?
I did not. I went 2-1. So you are the expert this week. You know how he always shifts from expert to analyst? Like, I don't know if it's a personal thing.
No, it's
like he doesn't like
well,
me.
Like, what
week.
Is on your business card?
Analyst.
Yeah. So
I never say expert for the record, although there are some times when some people act like I am, and I think 57% makes you an analyst. I think 60% would make you an expert, right? Maybe.
This is anybody
so
hitting
like
on
a pretty
60%?
Good threshold.
Some people claim to be. Yeah. But hey, 10-4, man. Hell yeah.
It's all random. Well, not random, but like I, again, got nothing out of it. Actually, I had a pretty nice Thanksgiving. I tailed you on the first half under in that Bears-Lions game. And then I had, it was so memorable, I can't even remember it.
Did you have the Raiders money line?
No, I had a player prop. What the hell was it? Oh, this is great radio.
He's so clouded by 10-4, he just forgets the props.
It's going to come to me eventually. It was a running one. Okay.
What did you think of the Thanksgiving in general? What are your leftover thoughts?
My leftover thoughts, I set a personal number. I do this every year. I set a number how much weight I'm going to gain. I always start, I weigh myself right in the morning, and then I weigh myself at night, you know, after the whole day full of feasting. My number is always 5.5 pounds.
5.5 pounds? What are you, a prize fighter?
Like, I went under. I only gained 5 this year.
So you sweating in the sauna before?
No, I just
I gained 5 pounds.
You should see me eat on Thanksgiving. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is literally any team can lose on any given day. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, granted, they're down CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, but to let the hapless, hopeless Las Vegas Raiders just march up and down the field all afternoon.
I don't think the Cowboys are very good. That's been kind of a take I've been sitting on all year where I've kind of released it a little bit because at a certain point you can't argue with the results, but they do give up a ton of yards and then they get turnovers. And I guess you have to be good to get, I mean, it's an age old question. Like, is that turnover luck or is it, you know, forcing the turnovers? It feels like they've gotten not lucky, but they've been fortunate to force a lot of
turnovers. It felt
turnovers.
Like they had so many chances to like seize control of that game and
then
they would give
too,
up a
like,
big play. And it was
a lot of it comes
very
down
frustrating
to coach quarterback. And it's like McCarthy, is a doofus, and I'm still not entirely sure on Dak Prescott. I mean, again, that's another one where I'm
he's comeback player of the year, but that doesn't mean Jack as far as like getting his team to where they need to go. I mean, they literally paid him to win a Super Bowl, not to be player of the year, you know, to give him
that's
the
true. I forgot all about the contract thing,
get the most expensive contract for a quarterback in the history of the league. I mean, granted, inflation plays in all that. I think if you did the math and like added inflation and maybe some of the Manning contracts were bigger, but he's paid to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. We look at the numbers now. I want to get into the exact Super Bowl stuff in just a second, but you know, people always ask who's good in the NFL. Well, let's go to the numbers. BetMGM, Tampa Bay favored to win the Super Bowl 5-1, 100 wins 5. Green Bay 7, Kansas City 7, Buffalo 8. I think we all pretty much agree with those first four, right? In some order.
Some order, yeah.
Tampa, Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo. After them, Arizona 850, the Patriots 10-1, Ravens and Rams 11-1, Cowboys 13, Titans 20. I could probably stop there, but that's what the numbers say at BetMGM. Bucks, Packers, Chiefs, Bills in order.
The Patriots are live because I don't think anybody's good, and if nobody's good, then you might as well look at a team that is going to be well coached. Well, but like I think this past week was a perfect example. And there's like two plays that are like a microcosm of it, where it's like Tennessee breaks like a 50-yard run, and the guy can't tuck the ball away and fumbles. And then you look at like the Kendrick Bourne touchdown where he, you know, has the presence of mind to stay inbounds, use his block. It's just a lot of it, the coaching and the preparation, I think, is going to – that I put even greater emphasis on that this year when there isn't a, you know, no doubt this team is favored to win the Super Bowl.
Doesn't it feel like they're sort of built to beat those teams in front of them too?
Probably, like, but they may lose. That's the thing. Like, they could go to Kansas City and get absolutely dump trucked, but that's just because, like, eventually maybe the talent is an issue, but
they feel
they're going to be in it probably.
I was going to say they feel blowout proof.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like, it's sure. I guess, the real test of that might come Monday night.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah. They just seem like the style that they play, it's just, it doesn't lend itself to them just getting run out of the building.
Here's the crazy thing. If they get home field, nobody wants to come here. Nobody wants a part of the potential Foxborough.
They're 5-0 on the road, by the way.
But right now, they are a half game out of the number one seed. So Baltimore's 8-3, New England's 8-4. And if you look at their schedule, boys, I mean, they're going to be favored. They won't be favored at Buffalo. But the rest of those games, at Indianapolis, they're probably a short favorite. They're favored at home against the Bills. They're favored against Jacksonville, and they're favored at Miami. So they're favored in all but one of their remaining games in the regular season. And I know, like, you know, Mahomes is awesome. Allen's awesome. Those offenses coming here, potentially playing in a 15-degree snowblower-type game, nobody wants a piece of that. So a lot of things have to go that way. But, man, who wants to face that defense and that offensive line in these elements? Nobody.
I wrote this on Nesson.com this morning. Like, I think the only real bet they have left that makes any sense with value is they're like 20-1 to be the best regular season record at FanDuel. I feel like that is still weirdly open. Like, I don't think it's likely, but it's in terms of regular season stuff, I feel like that's the only thing left. In terms of the playoffs, you wrote for Nesson.com today about Super Bowl matchups and the, you know, the odds of certain specific matchups. Certainly the Bucks-Patriots idea stands out as a tantalizing option.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting proper value here. Obviously, the books are going to shade this because they know people are going to bet it, like, just because right. of the potential of them being on the hook. Like, I think the true number is probably a little higher, but BetMGM has 16-1 right now. 10 wins, 160. 100 wins, 1,600. On a Brady Belichick Super Bowl, which I've been told by several bookmakers would be the single greatest betting spectacle of all time. It would probably shatter all the television ratings, you know, maybe even get past the MASH number, the MASH finale. Everybody would have a bet on that. And I talked to a couple bookmakers for the story, and the one guy, Dave Sharapin, said we'd have to hire extra writers. Like, we'd need more staff on the casino sportsbook floor because we would not be able to handle all the foot traffic. Last year, the AGA said that Americans bet $4.2 billion around the country, legal and illegal. It's got to be higher if it's Brady against Belichick, right? I don't know that I'm willing to make that bet, but, man, if these two teams keep trending upward, that 16-1, Ricky, not going to be available much longer if Pats keep winning.
No. Any other matchups stand out to you, though? I mean, that's the one, obviously, that, it's sort of would be must-see, but from a value standpoint.
I think Chiefs-Packers is the best bet on the board. At 16-1. Similar price, actually the exact same price, but I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers is just on a different level this year. He's been in that mode. Mike, you're from that fandom right there, the Packer fandom. I mean, he's on a different level this year. And he's even better off a loss. He just picked apart a Rams defense that has Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and Von Miller. Like, it didn't even matter. He's a psychopath right now, and I mean that in all the right ways. That team, I think they're going from the NFC, and you could key the Packers in if you want. You get 16-1 against the Chiefs, 18-1 against the Bills, 22-1 against the Patriots. If I had to pick one team, I guess, to maybe key in and go from there, like pick them against different teams, it would probably be Green Bay.
It probably makes more sense to bet. I'm trying to pull up the numbers. Bet like those three options as opposed to just betting the Packers to win the NFC, right?
Yes, because the Packers to win the NFC are like 4 or 5-1.
Right.
I mean, it
could even be lower.
Yeah, depending on where you shop. I mean, we're talking 5-1. So, yeah, that could be interesting. You take Packers. I mean, who else is coming out of the AFC? It's nobody. It's Bills, Chiefs, or Patriots right now.
Yeah. So, like, if you took, like, whatever your unit was and just break it into a third. Like, that's almost.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So let's say it's 5-1 to win the AFC. You take the 100 to win 5, or you take that 100 and split it in 3. You go 33-16-1, 33-18-1, 33-22-1. Yeah, you're going to make a lot more money.
Just crack the code.
Look at that.
Beautiful mind over
there. Hopefully they're not onto us right now. You better bet this four moves. You better go to a BetMGM state and fire.
I have some stuff to handle after this.
In case you're wondering, I know you're probably really curious to know what the number is for a Belichick-Cam Newton Super Bowl.
Oh.
That would be 750-1.
Huh. Oh. You never say never.
The Packers makes too much sense. It's too open for them, and they always find a way to just completely piss down their leg when a situation presents itself.
They'll lose to the Saints in the wild card.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, what do you make of the NFC in general? Like, I feel like that, you know, has been sort of the last 4-5 weeks, maybe. Like, that conversation's changed a lot.
It certainly has. I mean, Dallas, clearly, Mike already said, not who we thought they were. The Niners are getting hot all of a sudden, which, you know, I had Niners futures before the year to win the NFC.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have 7-1, 8-1. It was 100-1 3 weeks ago. But they're right there. The football team stinks. The Vikings have Mike Zimmer. The Falcons stink. The Saints stink. The Eagles stink. The Panthers stink. All these teams stink.
Rams are a mess right now.
Well, I think we all sat here and talked about this before the first week of the year, and we all said that the rich got richer. If you looked at what happened with the final four teams last year, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, those are still the four teams to beat. I mean, at the end of the day, the cream rises. You need an elite quarterback. You need teams that have been there, played in games like this before, and those four teams, I mean, those are still the four teams to beat. But we did sit here early September and say, the best teams got better.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes. I mean, Dallas Cowboys, LA Rams. No, they're not winning the Super Bowl.
See, the Rams are like the only team I would even consider betting on right now because like the value is probably better than it was 3 weeks ago, obviously.
Yeah, they were 5-1 to win the Super Bowl when they got Von Miller.
Of like that.
Or NFC, rather.
Of like that second tier below, I guess, Arizona, Tampa, and Green Bay in the NFC. Like, none of those teams I could see going on a run, save for maybe the Rams. Like, that's the thing. I can't talk myself into Philly. I can't talk myself into Washington. I can't even talk myself into Minnesota.
And here's a better question.
I guess it's just a 3-team race. I don't know.
Would you be more confident with that bet? If you were actually going to walk up to a window and bet the Rams, are you betting it because of Sean McVay or because of Matthew Stafford?
It's probably McVay.
Right. So you still need Matthew Stafford to get you the Super Bowl.
It's McVay. Then second is, I just not totally sold on anybody else. And then Stafford, is farther down the list.
Yeah,
so
we're trying to make reasons to bet other teams when really aren't many.
That's something.
I'll admit, I completely overlooked the Cardinals in, every single conversation. Maybe that'll come back to bite me. I mean, they're sitting, 9-2?
They're 9-2. Yeah, that was the thing.
They've been winning, without Kyler.
That was that best record story I wrote about the Patriots. I think the Cardinals crossed my mind once when I, wrote
it
in the story. It's just I'm not even paying attention to them. And then they have the inside track to the one seed.
Mahomes and Kyler Murray would pay you 20-1, Ricky, in the Super Bowl.
That feels good. This is a big week for the Chiefs, I think. We'll get into that. It's one of our games this week because it's still not completely there, but yeah, it definitely feels like this is a rare opportunity. Like if you go back, I wonder what last year, this same time last year, like that Packers Chiefs bet would be in terms of, it wouldn't be 16-1 or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
It would have been 8-1, 10-1.
Sure. And I mean, obviously this year is not last year, but how wide open stuff is, you could do a whole lot worse than Rodgers Mahomes.
I think it's wide open until you get into the, last couple rounds, and then it's going to be the similar cats at the top. But Kansas City, to win the AFC 3 weeks ago, they were 7-1, and now they're 250,
yeah.
325, yep. 330. So you can't bet after the hot streak. You have to get ahead of the curve, and that's why this racket is so tough. It's easy for us to sit here and go, wow, bet the Patriots win the Super Bowl right now. Yeah, okay, cool, 16-1. They were 70-1 when they were 1-3. So it's all relative. It all comes out in the wash, but you just want to make the right bet before before the number gets too far away.
This is shaking out for another Tom Brady, less than gracefully just finds himself, backs his way into the Super Bowl, and
I've hated betting against that guy for so many years. I mean, you guys got to cover the team and be around the Patriots. I absolutely despised betting against him because you knew he was at the end of the day, he was going to at least have a chance to win the game.
They'll end up picking off like, or somebody will pick off the Packers, and then they'll somehow get them in like the conference championship. Yeah. And it's like Patriots Jags all over.
I literally I lost three straight weeks last postseason with three straight games with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I mean,
I went against them with New Orleans.
There were points in every one of those games, too, where it felt like the right play.
Jared Cook was about to make a two-touchdown game, and then he just, whoops.
Heineke had him on the ropes in Washington.
And then he goes into Lambeau, Kevin King, and then, you know, the entire Chiefs offensive line was crippled. Yeah. I mean, we don't make excuses, but, I mean, I literally bet against the guy
three straight games, and it just
kicked my teeth in. But that's Tom Brady for you, boys.
Yeah, I'm just going to, after this is done, I think I'm just going to load up on Patriots-Bucks stuff just to, as a mental hedge, because I just don't want to deal with it. But
and then you could shut off your computer, you can shut off your phone, you don't have to hear about it because you already bet it.
Right, exactly.
You'll be ahead of the narrative. The Super Bowl's on February 13th. If you bet it on November 30th, you'd be getting ahead.
Until I get to work.
That is good for business.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, unfortunately, I know. All right, Sam, thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, it was Josh Jacobs. Over rushing.
Oh, it was your prop?
Yeah.
Your turkey day prop?
Smoked it, too. And I went off of that in part because Jason Luck and Forrest said they were going to make Jacobs a big part of their attack on Thanksgiving, which is like if you're going to cardinal rules of betting is probably not to follow Jason Luck and Forrest, but that's on me. let's get into week 13. See? Week 13. Ooh. I'm already doing it wrong. Like I said last week, I went 10-4. You went 6-8. Any real takeaways from last week? I've kind of already blitzed it from my mind for the most part.
Not especially.
No, I mean, we'll get in. I think a lot of them are layered in. Let me actually look up real quick.
I guess the big thing is, like I touched on with Sam, just how the NFC is shaken out. That, like, I just feel like we're in a much different place than we were a few weeks ago. When you look at Dallas, you look at the Rams. Like I said, I still don't even really consider Arizona, but maybe I should. But they've been such a weird team to figure out because their lines have been all over the place the past few weeks without Kyler Murray in there, and you just don't know what you're getting from them week to week.
It feels like they have four or five losses. And they only have two.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's very strange.
Carolina, Cleveland, Green Bay, and Tennessee on a bye this week. It feels like more than that, but it's those four. We had some struggles putting together three games. This is not a great weekend. This is, like I said to you, this is Christmas tree cutting season. If you're looking for something to do on
Sunday.
Hang
your stockings.
Yep. Because, I mean, especially around here, you know, the Patriots don't play until Monday. So, but we will start with our slate.
Are you a real tree or a fake tree?
Real tree, yeah.
Yeah, see, I went away from the real tree just because of the hassle
of it. I can't put my mind around the idea of putting down the money for the fake tree knowing that I'm going to make back my money within like 3 years. It's a mental block where it's cheaper for me to pay the $65 than it is to go buy a $200 fake tree, even though, like I said,
you can get a fake tree cheaper than that.
Probably. I'm high class. So yeah, I want a
it's
real
true.
Nice
you don't want to mail it in your tree selection. I do miss having a real tree, though.
It sucks. So this is not story time. I had real issues with it 2 years ago where we got one that was too big, like scratched our ceiling. It was at an angle the whole time. I had to tether it down with weights. our dog knocked it over twice.
I bring it up because I have a fake tree, but some of the lights went out on it. So, like, now it just looks kind of just bootleg. I think I got to make a play here.
That
soon.
Sucks because then you got to take the lights off, put the new lights back on.
Well, it's got like the lights are like those built-in type of deal. Like,
have you ever fixed lights?
Yeah.
I would rather throw them out than try to fix
them. Well, I mean, I've attempted to.
They give you those little ones. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's the juice isn't worth the squeeze. That's
for sure. I put
my
lights up on my house and I was just like,
go get new lights.
Yeah, no thanks. All right, football.
Anywho.
We'll start Sunday afternoon. We got the Chargers heading to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Chargers reeling. They are in a bad way coming off of their loss to Denver. The Bengals, meanwhile, absolutely punked the Steelers last week. As such, the Bengals are 3-point favorites at home this week against the Chargers. The total is at 50.5 at DraftKings Sportsbook. It opened at 2.5, bet up to Cincinnati at 3. Who do you like here?
I think with the Chargers, like I've always been more enamored with what they could be as opposed to what they actually are.
Yeah.
Like I think we're seeing that they're just not that good. Even like when they've won, you know, 5 of their 6 wins by 6 points or fewer, they've had to score at least 38 points for 2 of those wins when against teams where they really shouldn't have been giving up as many points as they did. So this is a game. I mean, if this gets up over a field goal, I mean, I might consider taking the points, but I just have a hard time figuring out if and how LA is going to stop Cincinnati. I think the Bengals have sort of finally figured out after all these years how to properly deploy Joe Mixon. We've touched on in the past the Chargers' issues against the run, dead last in rush DVOA, dead last in rush success rate against, allowing an NFL worst 145.3 rushing yards per game. So I just think Cincinnati's going to be able to have their way offensively, and I like what the Bengals have done defensively as well, both against the run and against the pass. I'm pretty high on the Bengals, maybe more than most. I don't know. I think that maybe they feel like they're probably a year away, but I think going into next year, they're going to be an interesting team. But anyways, in this game, I'll lay the points at home with Cincinnati.
I hate that I'm doing it, but I'll take the Bengals as well. It just feels like everybody's going to be on the Bengals, which is scary to begin
with. That's like the one thing that's given me a little bit of a little pause.
And everyone's jumping off of LA, who I think is still good, at least has a high ceiling. It's just not clicking right now. It's not working for them. To your point, the run defense is a bit of an issue. That's probably why they have the 31st ranked third down defense. I think it's very much set up there for the Bengals to kind of take advantage of the Chargers with Joe Mixon early to get him in favorable third down situations, and then maybe it's Burrow, you know, to any one of the growing number of weapons. It feels like everybody's starting to find some comfort in that offense. Jamar Chase speaks for himself, but like T. Higgins had a career game last week. Mixon had a career game too, career high 165 yards on the ground. It feels like a lot of keep away this week from them, and that's kind of what we've seen when the Chargers don't win these games is that they're just, you know, they can't get the ball back, and then that puts Herbert behind the sticks, and it's this uphill battle that I don't think they're necessarily equipped to be able to win. They don't have enough talent offensively to make up for their defensive issues, and like the run defense is bad. The pass defense, the metrics are a little bit better, but they've been victimized in the secondary plenty of times. They've been banged up. You know, you go back to that Pittsburgh game. I know that was kind of a little bit of, you know, smoke and mirrors, especially now that what we've seen Pittsburgh do last week. But, like, Roethlisberger didn't look terrible against that secondary.
Yeah. It's the ultimate indictment.
Speaking of, too, that game, you know, Pittsburgh had some advantageous situations in the special teams game. Chargers dead last in DVOA special teams. Cincinnati, by the way, 7th. So there's another advantage for the Bengals there as well. So a lot of this matchup kind of points to the Bengals. Another reason I feel a little uncomfortable with this pick is it just feels like it has to turn again at some point for the Chargers. I just don't think this is the matchup for it to happen. Going and playing another early game too, it's tough.
No, I think generally speaking, the Chargers for me are kind of become a stay away team.
Agreed.
Like I just, you know, I don't like laying points with them because they're so prone to having those weird type of games where they give the ball away a few times. But like also like it's just certain matchups that seem bad, this being one of them. Like you look at teams that can run the ball and you look at how bad they've been against the run. So yeah, I think just generally speaking, I mean, I guess if anything, I might like the over more than the actual line here, because I think there's a chance that this turns into a little bit of a shootout. I don't know. But when they are catching points, they are always that live underdog because of the quarterback play or the ceiling that they have at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I don't really like this game a whole lot. But, you know, gun to my head, I'll take Cincy.
I highlighted this quote from Mixon. He says, you want to take a run? Take away the run, that's cool. But we got 3 and 4 and 5 other guys that's going to take you up top. That's just the players we got around here. We've got a lot of playmakers. And I think that kind of speaks to it. That's like a Mike Lombardi thing. He always says, can you play with one hand tied behind your back? And I think the Bengals are getting to that point. And I think even if they're not quite there yet, the Chargers' deficiencies on that side of the ball will, I'm not entirely sure they can tie somebody's hand behind their back.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're the Bengals, this is, you come out and you lay another egg this week. That's their thing. They've kind of failed to build on the momentum that they've established.
They have a ton of it this year.
3-8 against the spread in their last 11 games, following a straight-up win. So they're very much prone to a letdown, just as much as the Chargers.
Well, that could also be Vegas still hasn't figured it out, or sports books. They get inflated, and that again speaks to the apprehension here. But we're both on the Bengals there, so God bless us.
Yeah, God bless to us, Cincinnati fans.
All right, let's move to Sunday night, right? This game got flexed, if I'm not mistaken. Got the Denver Broncos heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Big game in the AFC West. People might not realize this, but the Broncos are 6-5, and they are one game back in the West. Kansas City are feeling a little bit better about themselves, feeling good, feeling rested. They are 10-point favorites. The total is at 47. Just some interesting numbers here.
Yeah.
It opened at KC minus 10, dipped to 9 Monday morning, then has been back up to 10. It's kind of all over the place. A lot of public support on Denver already. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a lot of points. Divisional game, obviously. Denver coming off. That went over the Chargers, in which their defense looked good. I can't shake their injury report, though. They came out of that Chargers game pretty banged up. I think they only had one starter along their offensive line playing in the second half. Melvin Gordon got banged up. Teddy Bridgewater dealing with an injury on top of some of the issues that they already had. So they've been relying a lot on rookies on both sides of the ball. Now you're traveling to Kansas City in prime time to face the Chiefs coming off a bye. There's a chance they get run out of the building. It feels like a lot of points, but then I start to consider that. The Chiefs come out, the game script, the first few drives, get an early lead. I just don't know if Denver's going to be able to claw their way back into it. So there was a part of me that said to hold your nose and take the points just because of, what we've seen this year, road underdog, 64-40-1 against the spread. But from a matchup standpoint, given the injuries that Denver's dealing with, this could be the week that we sort of say, all right, the Chiefs are finally back.
So I saw the number and I said, there's no way I can take the Chiefs. So I took the Broncos.
Right.
I couldn't control myself. It was the first thing. I said, nope, 10, no. This is 7.5 at the most. And I get your point. And it
because I had the same reaction.
It speaks to a lot of the conversation we have with Sam too. It definitely feels like the Chiefs are trending up, but are we just gonna ignore the 2 years of evidence of them not covering? You know what I mean? Yeah. Are we gonna ignore the fact that they, 1-2 weeks does not make a season saved, in my opinion? There are still question marks there for me with Kansas City that I need to see answered before I can completely support them. And laying 10 points at home against a team that it surprised me with how good it has played, how well it's played. I just can't do it. And I agree. There's a strong possibility I wake up Monday morning and they won 38-10 in the exact scenario that you said, where they jump out to a lead and they can't play catch up. And I feel like, oh, should have seen that coming. I just don't think it happens. I think as long as Teddy Bridgewater is healthy, and it sounds like it was just kind of like he dinged his shin, he came back anyway. It is like kind of that race to the first positive play or first touchdown, because if Denver, it's almost one of those ones where I know everybody defers. If I'm Denver and I win the coin toss, I'll take the ball and we're going to try to run down your throat with Javonte.
You want like a 10-minute drive to
right,
open that
exactly.
game.
Exactly. And, you know, the Kansas City, you can talk all you want about how they look better. The defense is still what it is, especially against the run. 28th DVOA, 28th yards per carry allowed, 27th rushing EPA against. Denver's numbers weren't as good as I thought. They're like middle of the road with their running attack. But when they run it well, they win. They typically win, or at least they're competitive. They're 4-0 this year when running for 120 yards or more in a game. And those all came against subpar run defenses. Let me run this down for you real quick, no pun intended. Dallas, New York, both New Yorks, and the Chargers. That's the 18th, 31st, 32nd, and 30th run defense by DVOA. Like I said, Kansas City's 28th, right in that ballpark. It's a calculator risk, but it's one I'm willing to take for 10 points, that Denver does find a way to kind of establish their run and just kind of slow this game down and muck it up. And, you know, typically Teddy Bridgewater does not make mistakes, so you feel good about that as well when, you know, the off chance that Kansas City does bottle it up. You're going to live to see another day. I just think it's a...
Yeah. I mean, these two teams are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of like offensive pace
sure,
and everything.
Yeah.
So like if you're Denver, you want to come out and you want to start off with a 10-minute drive where you're just controlling the clock, controlling the line of scrimmage. I think my thing with Denver is I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do enough offensively. Like we're a couple weeks removed from them getting just absolutely steamrolled by the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think they caught Dallas at a pretty good time. I think that was Dak Prescott's first game back from the injury. Prior to that, they beat Washington, which is kind of whatever, and then they lost four in a row before that. So, I don't think I have a real good read on Denver, to be honest with you. Maybe I'm just underselling them. I'm not ruling that out at all. I just think that given some of the issues that they're dealing with internally from an injury standpoint, and you know, Kansas City's been here before, and like there is the whole Andy Reid coming off the bye thing. Like I don't know how much stock I put into it, given that it goes, you know, you're looking at the record like 19-3 straight up,
7-1
in the regular season, 7-1 Mahomes. So like I don't know, but then you is also like which trend are you buying into? You buying into that one, or are you buying into the Chiefs that are 2-10 against the spread in their last 12 home games? Like, or just have been poor against the spread in general.
Well, so they could also win 28-20.
So like, yeah. So there's a lot of cherry picking involved.
Yeah. Which is what we do every week.
So. Yeah. Well, you gotta do it at some point. But yeah, I guess I'm just looking at the matchup. I was sort of with you where I was just I saw the number and I'm like, ooh, it's enticing. It's a lot of points.
To your point about the pace, Kansas City ranks third in seconds per play at Football Outsiders. Denver ranks 30th. And it's also worth noting that defensively, Kansas City ranks 24th, which means teams are taking their time against Kansas City. It'll be interesting to see if that's... I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right?
The pace will dictate this game.
Sure. Which kind of speaks to the 47 feels low, but I guess it would go under if Denver is going to win. So, all right, let's get to Monday night. Big game, biggest game of the week. You got the Patriots coming off of yet another win, a blowout win over Tennessee, a very shorthanded Tennessee. They head to Buffalo to Orchard Park to take on the Bills. The line's been all over the place. It opened at Buffalo -3.5. The public has been all over the Patriots. Almost 90% of the bets on New England so far. Dropped it down to 2.5. I'm looking at it right now. We're going to go with 3.
Okay.
We're going to go Buffalo laying 3 at home. That's what it's at right
probably,
now.
Probably it's book. Probably what it's going to settle on.
Probably.
If I was the guess.
Yeah. If you're a Patriots backer here, you really want that hook. Hopefully you got it as soon as it happened because it might not come back. But like I said, for now, Bills laying 3 at home against the Patriots. Who do you have, Ricky?
This is my weekly Patriots emotional hedge where I pick against them in the hopes they keep things rolling. I'm going to lay the points with Buffalo, and I'm still waiting for the game where you look at the Patriots offense and wonder just how good it is. Obviously, we haven't really gotten that to this point. To Mac Jones's credit, he hasn't really had a bottom out game, which I think is probably the most impressive aspect of his rookie season. You haven't had that one four pick, just coughing up a couple fumbles.
The New Orleans game.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I don't know, maybe.
And he responded to that by almost beating Tom Brady the next week.
So I'm not saying you're going to get that specifically this week, but I think that there's a chance that that offense runs into a little bit of a wall. You look at the Bills, obviously the thing that stands out about them is that loss a couple weeks ago to Indianapolis, where we just completely, I think, undersold Indianapolis's ability to run the ball down their throats. And it's entirely possible the Patriots just do the exact same thing this week. I think that's probably going to be the game plan. But you look at a lot of the numbers, Buffalo's defense still right up there. This is the biggest test yet that the New England's offense has faced. So look at their six-game winning streak. In terms of defensive points per drive, they faced the Jets, who are 32nd, Chargers 29th, Panthers, who are 4th, but, I mean, that game, New England definitely benefited from a few turnovers, had a pick six. The Browns 24th, the Falcons 30th, the Titans 16th. So this is the toughest defense that they've played yet. I think that once you incorporate the elements, I think it's going to be like around in the mid-20s, high 20s. We still don't really have a feel for how Mac Jones performs in that, although he seemed to pass his first test. I don't know. I could see this being the game where you see a little bit of offensive regression, and Buffalo sort of, it plays up to their potential because they need a statement win as well. They haven't really had that signature win this year.
This is by far the toughest test the Patriots and Mac Jones have faced this year. I don't know if that's the right.
Not
way
just
of
from like
it.
From a matchup, from a narrative, from.
Monday
night
Tom
in Buffalo,
Brady.
The stakes.
They played Tom Brady at home in his return. Like that's.
Yeah. But that was more. The glitz and the glamour of it.
Sure, and there
facing.
Are expectations now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So there's pressure.
People are gunning for you.
Yeah, there's pressure on it from that regard. This is one. This is the opposite of the Chiefs game, where I was like, give me the Patriots. Or, excuse me, give me the Bills. I'll take the Bills because I don't think the Patriots have beaten anybody. I still don't think the Patriots are very good. I don't know if Buffalo is good. I'm taking the points.
Okay.
I'm taking the Patriots. I meant to say I was taking the Bills right away, but now I'm taking the Patriots and I'm taking the points. Because I just don't think Buffalo is very good. They could win this game 26-24, sure. And I still win the bet. For me, it comes down to what's wrong with Josh Allen? Or like, Josh Allen has not been the same player that we saw last year. In his last four games, he's thrown 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He threw just 9 interceptions in 2019 and 10 last season. His turnover worthy throw percentage at Pro Football Focus, jumped from, it was 3.4% last year to 4% this year. That doesn't seem like a big jump, but that's a couple times per game that he's putting it in danger, and the Patriots are going to make you pay for that. By the way, only Roethlisberger has more turnover-worthy passes this season than Josh Allen. I think the Patriots excel at taking advantage of those opportunities when they're given to them. I think that's a value or a quality of a well-coached team. Belichick pointed to, they've been really good at turnovers and field position. And in the six-game winning streak, they're plus 13 in the turnovers for the season. They're 6th in net turnovers per drive. They are 1st in net drive start. And they've done that. And I think they put themselves in a position to win a game where they take away a lot of the uncertainties. I think they'll do that again this week. They've been good on the road, granted, against nobody really impressive other than maybe the Chargers. Tre'Davious White out for the season is another thing it's huge for Buffalo. That's a big loss for them. I think what did the Titans run for? 270 yards last week?
Yeah.
The Bills aren't going to do that. So I think it kind of falls right into what the Patriots want to do, or at least the strengths they have defensively, where I think this just kind of, I don't know. Again, it's another one, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'm just getting tired of betting against the Patriots.
I think there are three things that I'm kind of anxious to see in this game. One, the Tre'Davious White injury and how that impacts their defense. Two, how the Patriots are able to slow down Stephon Diggs, because that was a huge issue last year. If JC Jackson wants to earn his upcoming payday, this would be a good place to really start that. And three, whether Josh Allen can do anything with his legs. Because, looking back, I mean, really, the Patriots haven't faced that mobile of a quarterback this year. So maybe there's an opportunity there where, you know, you get into some third down situations and then are able to extend some drives with Allen running for a first down. So, yeah, that's just another ingredient that maybe if you're finding ways to crack the code of that New England defense, maybe that's how you do it. Maybe you just get him in motion a little bit.
Maybe.
So those things that stand out to me. And then the weather. That'll be a fourth one. I don't know. Like, as of right now, it looks like it's going to be in the 20s. I think there's some snow in the morning, but it's supposed to clear out. But, I mean, we're, what, 6 days away?
Sure.
So we'll see.
It's a good one, finally.
I mean, we're probably, like, the most likely scenario feels like these two teams split their season series over the next few weeks. And so, I'm kind of just gearing up for that with the home team winning each of those games. But maybe it's just the opposite.
Did you put any stock into what the Patriots did last week?
Last week?
This past week. Because I keep finding reasons to discredit it, but it's like, am I the idiot?
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, is like, it felt like for a lot of that game, like Tennessee should have been in that game.
They were.
You know, like, they should have been. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there were chances they were just leaving out there. And because, I mean, they were moving the ball. Like you said, they were running all over them at one point. So it wasn't like it was just the score is not indicative of how that game played out. I don't think it was as lopsided as that as the final score says. I mean, it was a good win. Don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of like you as well, where I'm just like, I guess I keep finding ways to discredit their wins, which at some point maybe I gotta take a long look in the mirror here. But again, it's an emotional hedge for me.
I like it. It's really like it. I make most of my picks on emotional hedges at this point in my life.
I mean, why not?
Ricky, who's your lock?
Oh, man. Do I have to have one this week?
I know, it's a tough one.
I guess I'll take
it. By the way, I just changed my upset to my lock, so that's where I'm at.
Well, the thing with this week is a lot of decent-sized road favorites. I just don't like that. I don't like the schedule this week, but... I guess I'll take Indianapolis laying 8.5 points on the road against Houston. Feels like a game where maybe coming off of that disappointing loss to Tampa Bay, obviously going to find a lot less resistance on the ground. So I think they get their run game back going and able to cover that number. But I'm not in love with that either. haphazard way to approach the lock, but whatever.
Sold. I will take the Dolphins laying 3 points at home against the Giants. The Giants, a little frisky lately. Problem is they don't generate a ton of pressure on the quarterback. That seems to be the number one recipe for success against Tua, who's actually looked pretty good the last few weeks. I think they've got a little bit of mojo going themselves. Feels like a big-time letdown spot for the Giants as well, who came out and beat Philly last week, which is a nice win for them. But Philly turned it over 4 times. I think, you know, the Giants still only scored 13 points. So I like the Dolphins in this spot. Who's your upset?
Upset. I'll go the Steelers. As bad as they've looked, getting 4.5 points plus 175 on the money line over the Ravens. This is a must-win game for them if they want to keep their season alive. Lamar Jackson in his career again with 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 5 fumbles, losing 2 of them. His 59.2 rating is the lowest against any team. Is the Steelers defense as good as the one that he's faced in previous seasons? No. But at some point, this just feels like a pride game, divisional game, pride game. Got to put it all on the line. And also Baltimore hasn't, I mean, what, they turned the ball over 4 times on Sunday night? I mean, that was about as ugly as a win as you could get. I don't think that you're not going to be able to play that way and survive this week in Pittsburgh.
Probably not. But Pittsburgh looks so bad.
I know. It is. It's just kind of this goes back to our, I think Pittsburgh can win outright, but I really like them with getting the points at home in a divisional game like that.
For mine, I'm going to take the Washington football team. They're 2.5-point road underdogs at Vegas. Vegas extended rest this week, big time. Like, as big of a rest advantage as you can get playing Thursday afternoon and now playing a team that had to fight and claw for a Monday night. Only 2.5. Some of this feels weird. That's the only motive I have for this pick, is it just feels like there's something off, so I'm going to take the team that I'm not supposed to take in this situation.
Hell yeah.
Which is Washington, so I'll take the football team. Which, a team that is, they're still alive, technically. No? Am I mistaken?
They're currently five occupying a playoff spot.
Then I guess they are.
So they're alive. They're very much alive.
Don't love them, but I think they're going to be the better coach team. I think it's just a letdown spot as well for Vegas after an emotional Thanksgiving performance in Dallas. So.
That's like a sneaky important game.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were looking at the schedule, I just kind of glanced over that.
Three wins in a row for Washington, too.
It kind of does for me, but it's sneaky important for both teams.
Yeah, I think this is – the fact that – we've talked about this, right? The AFC West continues to be
baffling.
Mind-bender. The fact that, again, we were sitting here with Sam and with our own discussion talking about Kansas City as a Super Bowl threat. They have a one-game lead over every team in the division.
Yeah.
And you could sit there and be like, Vegas had their coach be exposed as a racist and then had a guy kill somebody. Denver problems pale in comparison to that, but yeah, they had their own issues. The Chargers, we talked about their inconsistency. All those games, or all those teams, one game back. That division is a tough nut to crack. And Denver has the best point differential of any team in that division.
That's wild.
Nobody's good. Still.
And here I am laying 10 points against them.
There you go.
That's where I wish
I had brought that one over. All right. Do you have anything else?
I got nothing.
Cool. Let's get out of here.
Go get you your tree.
I'm Mike. Yeah, I got to go finish my Christmas decorating. This has been the Spread Essence Football Picks Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Later.